You're listening to Tales of the Forsaken, a live play Fate Core game by Noble Jester Productions. Welcome to Rillian, a Western fantasy world where magic needs fuel, and that fuel is mined and refined into Ecton. A place of vast deserts, dark rituals, and greedy mining companies. A dwarf awakens and has forgotten who he is. Who is Verboden, and how will he seek to remember his past in the midst of this harsh world?
You are standing in the street outside the Laughingstock Hotel. You hear the whistle of the train that is down the street. What are you going to do?
Just kind of shake off this horrifying moment of barely escaping, and I'm going to run towards the direction of where I know the train is.
Yeah, so you make your way down the street. You are running flat out. You can see that people are clearing things out of the way, and this train is starting to move. And from your vantage point, you can also see, probably people right next to the train would not be able to see, but you can also see several people walking along the top of the train. And this train, you know, you're running, but you can tell you're not going to get there before this train leaves the station.
How far away am I?
You're pretty far away. I mean, certainly you could make it by lightning pistol, but it's it's definitely a ways away.
Okay, so seeing that, I keep running as fast as I can. As I'm running, I look down at the Ecton chamber on my pistol and see how much is in there.
You probably have two or three shots left.
Okay. I gotta make this count. So I keep running, and then I feel like I'm close enough. I would aim at the back ledge of the last car and try to shoot and hopefully make it on the moving train.
All right. I'm going to set a difficulty of probably a 4 for this. It's going to be pretty difficult.
Okay. You got a 4.
All right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so you're running, you look down at your pistol, you see that you've got just a couple of shots left. You select, you select lightning, point and fire, and you just feel yourself surge forward with this lightning shooting through these crowds of people, and you slam into the back of this train, catch on to this railing, and you're on this train that is building up speed as it's leaving Ecton Falls. And you can see there's the door in front of you into the last car. There's also a ladder on the side if you want to climb up the ladder onto the top of the cars. It's up to you.
Is there any way to look into the car from where I am, or is it a completely sealed car?
It's a sealed car. I would say you can tell it's not like a passenger car or anything. Mm-hmm. It appears to be kind of a storage car, one of the ones that were kind of loaded up, ready to go.
Okay. Yeah, I'll head into the car.
Okay. You open the door and you step inside, and this car is filled with those barrels that you know now are used to store Ecton.
Oh, wow. Anybody else in here?
There's not.
Okay. Do they happen to have, little spigots on them, or I can do a little gun top off here?
They do not have spigots on them.
Okay.
But you could definitely try to open one and, try to make it work.
I feel like that's worth the minute or two. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. So you go over to this barrel and, oh no, it's been smashed open. And you kind of look inside. It's bone dry. You start making your way up through the cart, each one completely bone dry.
Mm-hmm.
Just a smashed hole just large enough for Ecton to pour out.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly into a chalice. His entire car, they're all empty.
Okay. He kind of leans over, puts his arm across the barrels, and takes a couple breaths, and heads farther into the cart. Is there another door, at the end of the cart?
Yep.
or the car, I should say. So I will open that and keep moving forward.
Okay. You open the door and you see, obviously, the moving cars are connected at your feet. You have to kind of a long step across to get to the next car. And there's another door. It looks to be the same type of car that, you know, you just exited out of, another storage car.
Okay. I'll open this one, but a little bit kind of slower and peek in.
Okay. You open and appears to be the same, just full of row after row of barrels of Ecton.
Okay. I'm assuming they're all empty too.
If you make your way in and through, they are empty. Yep.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to keep just making my way.
All right. Third car looks the same. The door right there.
Okay. And I will open that door as well.
All right. You open the door, row after row of barrels of Ecton, and down at the end, you see Jarl and two figures, and he is, you know, he's smashed open the last barrel and is holding this chalice up, and Ecton is pouring into it. These two figures are standing next to him. You know, both these masked dwarves both turn and look as you open the door. And they're going to both pull guns and fire at you.
Okay, yep. I would expect nothing less.
So I'm going to go ahead and create a scene here for this so we can keep track of aspects.
Okay.
And I'm just going to do the whole train kind of as a scene here. So we'll start with, you know, specifically for this car, or let's give the train a couple of aspects. So I'm going to start with unknown composition of the cars. You don't know if there's passengers. You don't know. You didn't really get a good view of how many cars are on this train.
Yeah.
You don't know who's here. You don't know what's going on. You know very well.
Yeah. Thanks, Were Creatures, for that.
Probably not a great aspect to use the word composition, but whatever. And then for this car specifically, I'm going to say a whole lot of barrels.
Okay.
I think that could be potentially useful or a hindrance.
Okay, lots of barrels.
We'll start with those couple of aspects. All right, so they're going to fire at you.
Okay.
First one gets a 4.
I got a 2.
All right. So unless you want to use a fate point, that's going to be 2 shifts of physical stress.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that.
All right. So he fires, and he doesn't hit you, but the, you know, the bullet kind of, you have to move back away from them a little bit to avoid it. And then a 3.
That's a 3.
All right. Second one fires and just clangs off of the side of the car. And you're up.
So I'm just outside the, like, the train car door, or am I inside the train car?
That's up to you. I mean, you opened the door, saw them. I don't know if you would rush in while they were shooting at you or not. I feel like that first shot kind of drove you back a little bit. So up to you if you're outside, kind of, you know, teetering on the edge of between these two cars, or if you want to be inside, it's up to you.
Okay, I'm going to run in and try to hide behind, well, run towards behind some barrels, but as I'm running, I'm going to shoot fire at these guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Of course I roll 3. So that, with my shoot skill 4, is a 1.
All right. Well, they got a 5.
Yeah. Let's invoke lots of barrels. Because if there's a lot of barrels in here, they're really going to be kind of tightly grouped together standing there. And it should be an easier shot.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah. So burn fate point and...
Burn fate point, reroll.
Yeah.
Okay, much better. That is a 6 total.
So you flick the switch. You've only got a couple of shots left. You fire and... fireball kind of explodes, and you can see barrels exploding, flaming wood is kind of flying all around you, and these two dwarves who are there with their masks on are basically just incinerated. You see Jarl spin, and he's holding this chalice, this kind of curved magical shield barrier, you know, erects between the two of you, and he goes,
"Verboden, why are you always following me?"
And he's going to turn and run out the door.
Okay, I'm going to make chase after him.
All right. So I am going to have invoked a fate point, essentially, with that for him and his chalice to have blocked that damage, mm-hmm. so you can take a fate point back.
Okay.
Yeah, so he runs out the door. It slams closed behind him. So you're just going to run through the fire and flames?
Yeah, if I move quick enough, I won't get burned, right?
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah, so you run through. I mean, it's hot in here. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting singed as you're running through, but you run through and you just slam through the door.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you slam through the door, and he's standing right on the other side with an axe. Oh. He's going to swing at you. That is a 6.
I also got a 6. Oh, no. Ah, crap, I got a 5.
Okay.
Looks like the wrong skill.
So that's a success. I'm going to say, this is what he would do. Mm-hmm. You burst out of the door, and he is going to slam his axe, kind of trying to knock you off the side of the train.
Okay.
So I'm going to give him a success on that.
Okay.
And you go tumbling. I need you to make some sort of a roll to grab onto the side of this train.
Yeah, can I do a physique to grab the rail there?
Yeah.
Hang on. Oh boy. That's a good roll, though. That's a 6.
Okay, yeah. So you kind of tumble off the side, and you grab onto the rail. Feel your body kind of, you know, whipped into the side of this car as he turns and runs into the next car.
Okay, I'll try to pull myself up back to the where I fell off.
Okay, yeah, you pull yourself back up into, you know, onto the platform, and looks like the next car is maybe a dining car or something like that. It doesn't appear to be storage.
Okay. Are there any, like, ledges on the outside of that car at all?
The way it's structured, there's a small lip kind of around the base of the car that you could maybe, you know, kind of shimmy your way along. There's windows on the outsides of it. There is a, you know, a ladder that you could climb up to get on top of it if you wanted.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna, let's go and use a ladder. So I think I'm gonna climb up the ladder to get on top of that and make my way towards the other end. The intent would be, if I have the time, to see if he's exiting that car and continuing on, or he's just standing there.
Okay. Yeah, you climb up on top of this dining car, and you can see, like, two cars up. There are several figures, and they're crouched down. They both have rifles, and they're going to take shots at you. And standing behind those figures, you can see Hestian.
Mm-hmm.
That first attack is a 3.
You got a 2.
All right. So, unless you want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This first bullet slams into, you know, kind of the car at your feet, and you need to take one shift on your physical stress.
Okay.
Second one, that's a 1.
0.
Okay.
Jeez.
So there's another shift, and you know, these bullets are kind of flying around you, and you're having to kind of dance back away from them.
Are there any other aspects for these other cars? Maybe I could add an aspect of, like, moving train, and that's going to make him shooting. Or, like, there's a, or how about, like, round the bend? We've got a curve that's just happening as we're going, so his shot's off a little bit.
Definitely can add moving cars.
Okay.
I think that's a great aspect to add for just the train in general.
Okay.
Can be used, you know, can cut either way.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely let you use a fate point to declare, you know, round the bend if you wanted to try to do that, or you could just use the create advantage action and roll for it to try to see if you could create around the bend and get a, you know, free invoke as your turn.
So probably easier just to like use a fate point and invoke moving cars for this. Does that work? Is that your turn?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way it works, I'm not super well versed in it, but I think the way that it works is you can use a fate point to create an aspect, you know, to use for something if you want to, or you can use the create advantage action to also create an aspect, but you have to roll for it, you know, so that kind of takes your turn. Using a fate point doesn't. All right, so you are using that to negate that second point of earth shift of damage?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, the cars are kind of shifting back and forth as this train is moving at a high speed, and that second bullet goes wild.
Okay.
So you're up.
I'm going to aim at the guy on the left and try to shoot him.
Okay.
That's a 4 total.
All right. That is a 2. So you do 2 shifts of damage. I mean, with kind of the state of these cars, your bullet slams into this guy and he falls off the side.
Okay.
The other one is going to take a shot at you again. That's a 3.
I rolled a 1.
Man, you are rolling terrible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's going to be, unless you want to do something, that's 2 shifts.
I'm going to invoke the moving cars again. Use a fate point for that. So that would make it a 3.
All right. Yeah, so you succeed. This bullet doesn't hit you either, and you're up.
Okay, and I'm going to shoot back at this guy.
Okay.
That is a 3 total.
All right, you got a 2. So once again, you fire, and you know your bullet hits this guy, and he falls off the side of the train, and you can see Hestian standing there, and you know, kind of long white hairs blowing around him, and he just kind of gives you a look, and he climbs down a ladder, and you've got clear, you know, you can see the front of the train at this point. You can see the landscape moving, you know, it's desert. Mm-hmm. You can see the landscape passing. This train's moving very quickly, and you can see that there are 15 cars on this train. You can see the engine at the front of the train. You can see there are a bunch of different types of cars. It's kind of hard to tell what they are from on top, but there's variations in shape and size. So, you know, it appears there are different types of cars.
Okay. I think I'll run forward and I'll try to jump across and maybe over a couple cars.
Okay.
And then kind of peek down to the next one and see if I can tell what kind of car that is.
All right, so you jump across, how many?
Let's go 2.
All right, so you leap across one car and then run across that one and jump across to the next car and peek down. Appears to be a passenger car. You can see people seated inside. You know, they're kind of moving around a little bit, trying to peek out the windows. They've been hearing gunshots.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to drop down onto that platform where that door is and then I'll slowly head into that car.
Okay. Yeah, you open the door, and there's a couple of screams. People turn and look at you, and there's kind of alarm, and one of them, a human man with kind of large mustache, moves over to you.
I'm sorry, sir. What is going on this train?
Oh, sir, just have a seat here. I'm a sheriff of Silver Ridge. I know Roland, if y'all know him back here. There's some gentlemen who are up to no good here. I'm trying to help out. If y'all just remain calm and in your seats, hopefully we're going to get the train stopped here momentarily.
Oh, well, all right then.
He turns and...
Everybody, just calm down. Take your seats. Roland, I trust this man.
He, you know, kind of gets everybody calmed down and they all sit down.
I'm going to start walking through that train, making sure I don't see any other, shunt mining guys in there.
You don't. Although, as you're kind of halfway through the car, you suddenly hear a... And there is something in your mind that flips a switch. And you are like, that is the sound of dragon wings. and you, I'm assuming you would look out the window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You look out the window, and you see this large blue dragon fly forward and then kind of disappear out of your sight, and then you hear a crash from the front of the train.
Kind of stare back and, you know, look at the passengers, and I'm going to keep moving forward, try to go through into the next train car. I don't want to be here around all these civilians.
Okay. The next one appears to be kind of a high-class passenger car. It's got multiple different compartments. So, you know, very skinny hallway with multiple different compartments.
Yep. I'm just going to keep moving through there.
Okay. Yeah, you move through and, again, open the door, step across the cars, go into the next one.
Yep.
Okay. Appears to be kind of a kitchen. You know, there's cooking going on. There are people, staff that are moving around, and you know, they all kind of look up at you as you enter. One of them says, "Excuse me, what's going on back there? We've heard shots. Something very odd is happening on this train."
I'm not really sure. I just stay down. We're investigating this, and I kind of feel a little pain in my side and realize I still got the dagger sticking to me from the from that were-rat. And as I get up to the door, I'm going to just pull it out, kind of grip the handle, and then walk through the next door.
Yeah, you go through into the next car, and it's big, it's open. It looks like there's, you know, things kind of stored. It's not barrels of Ecton like those other cars, but there's, like, you know, luggage and things stored in this car, you know, passengers' luggage, that sort of thing. And you can see down on the other end a large something, and standing next to it is Hestian, and he is pulling back this kind of tarp that's covered over it. You can see he's holding the chalice. It looks like he's about to do something.
I'll yell out, "Hestian, put that down."
He spins and looks at you. He says, "You just keep coming. Why do you never stop?"
"Because I can't, and I won't. Keep coming for you."
"It's too late."
"I disagree."
He grips onto the chalice, and he kind of makes a motion with his hand, and you can see almost with, like, you can almost see this energy that he pulls out of this chalice, and he flings this lightning bolt at you.
Okay.
Oh, that's not great. It's a 4.
It's not great. That's a 4? Yeah, 3.
All right. I'm going to have him spend a fate point to add +2 to that, and he's going to use the chalice as his aspect.
Okay.
And he's going to, yeah, invoke that, and so you can get a fate point back, and that's going to be 3 shifts to your physical stress.
Okay, I'll mark up my 3 on that.
As this lightning bolt slams into you, and you kind of, you know, move aside enough that it doesn't throw you out the back of the car, but it definitely, you know, you feel the kind of energy crackling over you. Hurt.
Yeah.
You're up.
Feel good. I'm gonna run forward at him, and I'm gonna take a shot with poison mode rectum.
Okay. Go ahead and make your attack.
Normal has a 3.
You got a 0.
Okay. I like that.
All right, so he's going to take 3 shifts of his physical stress, and you recover 3 as you click this lever. You said poison, right?
Mm-hmm.
You select poison, you fire, and as you fire, you feel, you know, you can see kind of the eyes on this gun burn out, and you can tell that was your last shot.
Okay.
Of Ecton. And but he gets hit by this bullet and kind of, you know, staggers to the side, curses at you, and is going to try to lightning bolt you again.
Okay.
That is a 6.
Ouch, I rolled a -2. And then with my physique, that's a 1.
All right. Up to you if you want to change that at all. That's going to be 5 shifts if you don't.
Yeah, that is a lot if I don't.
There's really the same, you know, aspects here. Yeah. Moving cars. There's not a whole lot of barrels, but, you know, a whole lot of luggage.
Yeah.
You would know, I mean, he has the aspect. He's carrying the chalice. So yeah, that chalice is an aspect that you potentially could try to use.
I don't possess the chalice. That's a problem.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's 5 shifts. So you can combine boxes to do that, or you can take a consequence.
So that will both of my physical stress.
Okay.
Track boxes.
All right, you are up.
Kind of pissed at this guy, so I'm going to keep moving towards him. And then I'm going to holster my Ecton pistol and just grab another one and then take a shot at Hestine.
Okay.
That is a 3 total.
Got a -1.
Okay, I like that. That's your first little roll.
That is 4 shifts. Alright, so you fire again, slams into Hestian. Doesn't look like he's very tough. So he stumbles backwards and he kind of slams up against the door on the opposite side of this car and goes down on one knee. He looks over at what you can tell is some fairly complex piece of machinery that he had pulled the tarp off of. You know, putting two and two together, probably the acting drill. And he looks down at his chalice in his hands. He looks up at you and he says,
"Well, you've stopped this for now," he says, "but now you're going to have to make a choice, because I'm leaving with this chalice. You can stay, protect all these people, or you can follow. But really, we both know the choice you always make."
He reaches up and opens the door behind him. He kind of flings himself backwards. "I'm gonna let you have your turn." Like, he is flinging himself out the door.
And I kind of grunt, just like, and start running out towards him, seeing him, but then stop. And just watch him leave.
Okay. He flings himself backwards out the door and looks like he falls off of the train, and you can't see him because there aren't any windows in this car. But a few moments later, you hear the beats of these dragon wings, and they slowly recede into the distance and then disappear.
So looking at the Ecton drill, like, what did Hestian do to this?
It doesn't look like he had the chance to do anything.
Okay.
It's a large piece of, you know, complex machinery. You can see on one side does appear to be some sort of a drill feature. There is a port kind of on one side that, on the opposite side, looks like it's for pouring Ecton into, so, you know, maybe he was about to activate it. Hard to tell.
Okay.
The door into this car slams open.
Bolden!
Jarl.
Jarl is standing there. He says,
"You made him leave! He stole my chalice!"
He kind of laughs at him.
"Jarl, you're just such a fool. I was never yours, and it never will be, man."
He says,
Why? Why do you care so much? I'm trying to take these things to hurt people who have hurt us for such a long time. Indra and her four nations, they must pay.
Yeah, that's where the problem is, because it's not just them, man. You put an axe into Jasper, all in the name of what? Taking out Indra and these gods? You're lost, man.
Well, nothing else. I can crash a train into Orion.
He's going to run towards you, axe up.